by Drum Entertainment.
Hey, hey, this is Jay Mendez, and you are listening to the beat of my drum. In this episode, I interview Margie Llamas, the daughter of Maria Llamas. Maria went missing after attending the Poteet Flea Market on November 20th, 2016. She went to spend the day with her husband of 47 years, as they always do. In the years prior to her disappearance, she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. As her husband went to look for some boots that caught his attention, she vanished out of plain sight. The last visual that the family has of her is some footage from the security cameras, which shows her walking away from the flea market. Today, I bring her daughter on the show to give us information that could help our listeners find Maria. And I have Margie here. I'm going to interview her today. I wanted to talk about the pending case and the disappearance of her mother. And we're here at her residence in San Antonio, Texas, where Maria is from. And she went missing on, like I said, the Sunday, November 20th, 2016. Last seen at the flea market on Highway 16. Thank you so much for taking the time to interview with us, with me today, and on the beat of my drum. This is about my fourth or fifth episode where we're investigating disappearance. I've had a couple with certain crimes that occur. This one, we really don't know what it is as of right now. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so let's talk about your mother, Maria Llamas, and talk about where she's from and her upbringing. I read a lot, but I want to hear it from you as far as how she was as a mother and a grandma as well.
Mm-hmm. So my parents are from Mexico. Both of them came in 1976. My mother was actually pregnant with me. She was 7 months pregnant when they came over here. My father worked really hard. He worked in the restaurant business since I can remember. And my mother worked at a Delicious Tamales off Presses Street. So during this time, my mom was working, 16 hours, it seemed like. We would hardly see her. I have two older sisters, and I do have a younger brother. And we grew up, as a very close family. As we grew older, we all got married, but we had the tradition of getting together on Sundays, every Sunday at my parents' house. That's a tradition, I guess. I was the first one to get married, so that started kind of then. So every Sunday we would just go to her house, and we would call it So Food Sunday. So all of our children were accustomed to being over there. They would call my mom Yaya. My older son didn't know how to say abuela, so he would call her Yaya. So that's how she got the name of Yaya. She loved children. I mean, our kids. She loved the family. And we were just a very close family. So that that day that she disappeared, November 20th, 2016, that was, I would say, maybe 2 years after she had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. But in the past year prior to her disappearance, her Alzheimer's had advanced so rapidly that she no longer recognized herself. She didn't recognize us. One time when I was speaking with her, we were just sitting in the living room, and she turned around and looked at me and asked me, "Whose daughter are you?" And that shocked me, because I didn't expect that question. I thought she was kidding. And I was like, what are you talking about, Mom? I'm your daughter. And she's like, no, who are you? And then I really didn't understand how bad her Alzheimer's was until that day. My dad had already, talked about his concerns about the things she was doing. She would leave the stove on. It had already been a while since he didn't let her drive on her own anymore. So at that point, my dad retired. He decided to retire from work because he wanted to take care of her. So,
is Alzheimer's and dementia, are they the same or?
They are different, but they're not the same. We initially, when my mom started forgetting simple things, we automatically assumed it was dementia. We didn't really know much about Alzheimer's. And then, after my dad took her to the doctor, they diagnosed her with Alzheimer's.
Okay. And what are the differences?
I really don't know. I can't really tell you the differences right offhand. I'm throwing a blank, but I think one of them you just completely forget, and then one of them you have memories from the past, which is, I think, would be Alzheimer's. I think. I'm not sure.
And prior to this date when she went missing, mm-hmm. my understanding was that she had some issues with wandering off.
Yes. Yes. So I want to say it was 2015. I wasn't here when that happened, but I was out of town. And there was one night my sister messaged me and she said, can you talk? And I knew that was important because I never, received any messages like that from my sister.
I don't like messages like that.
Yeah. So I picked up the phone. I talked to her. She said, we didn't want to worry you, but Mom wandered off today. They called 911 and they had police looking, the family looking, and she was found less than 30 minutes away. 30 minutes after, but she was found several blocks. So my parents live on Medina Base Road and they found her off Old Pearsall Road.
Okay.
And she was walking with her blanket, saying that she was going to her parents' house. That time they found her right away, and at that point, my parents do have a burglar bars. My dad started locking the door, not leaving the key there, and we offered my dad help. He had already retired and we saw it was taking a toll on him,
right?
But my dad said as long as he could take care of her, he was gonna take care of her because he didn't want her to be mistreated at a nursing home. And mm-hmm. he just said, she took care of me all these years, it's my turn. So
wow.
So my father said if he really felt like he needed the help, he would let us know. So that was his life. He said, I'm going to take care of her as long as I can. So we felt really comfortable. My mom looked really healthy. So if you didn't know her condition and you spoke to her and you approached her, you wouldn't think anything's wrong. I mean, my dad fed her well. My dad dressed her. He would do her makeup. He would do her hair. He would even dye her hair because she had a lot of grays. So, he did everything for her, and that made him happy. And even though she didn't recognize him as her husband, she always looked for him. She always said, where's my compañero? So if he would walk off, she would just be staring, and we were like, you okay? She's like, my compañero, I don't see him. Mm-hmm. Means her companion.
Right.
And she would be looking for him. But that's kind of some of the history.
And how old was she at this time?
She was 69.
69. Mm-hmm. Tell us about their Sundays at the flea market.
So every Sunday, my dad and mom would go to a church, Immaculate Heart of Mary Church. That's a church. We were baptized, did our communion, confirmation, everything. So they've been going there since we were little. And they would go to noon mass, which is Spanish mass. And then after that, they would go to the Poteet flea market. And the reason why they would go there is because my mom loved music. She loved to dance. She loved to sing. So they would go and they would spend a couple of hours there at the flea market listening to music, sometimes dancing. That day, however, when they got there shortly after, my dad said that my mom told him, "I'm not really liking the music. Can we leave?" And he said, "Sure." So he said as they were walking down one of the aisles, he stopped and looked at some boots, which he says, "I never even stop at that stand or really any of the stands." And when we looked at the camera footage after, he stopped for about 34 seconds and my mom walked the opposite way. So my dad immediately started walking towards the way they were originally walking and my mom had walked the opposite way. So my dad immediately, you know, after walking, looking, he immediately called all of us. It was 3 o'clock when I got the phone call. And it took me 30 minutes to get over there. I'm the one that lives the furthest. My siblings live closer. And they, we searched. I mean, when I drove over there, I went directly into the flea market, just as my siblings did. We also had some family friends go. And we spent hours inside the flea market looking. I mean, restroom stands, asking all the vendors. You know, we had people helping us. And during the whole time, too, you know, we're also calling 911. So at that time, they couldn't tell us if it was Bexar County Sheriff's jurisdiction or the San Antonio Police Department. When they finally got back with us, they said it was the San Antonio Police Department, but we couldn't get a police officer out to the flea market to file a report because on that same day, earlier that day, there was a police officer who had been shot and killed. So after spending hours at the flea market, we went to my father's house, who they said there was a police officer in that area that could go out there and get our report. But that's all they really did for us then. So obviously not knowing what to do, not having any help, we went out. Then at that point, out around the flea market off Highway 16, off 410, we were going in through the brush, yelling out her name, just doing what we could. I mean, it was terrifying because it was cold. I was freezing. And I couldn't even imagine how my mom was. And now you're talking about she wandered off, you know, at two something, and it was, and you're talking about night, cold weather, dark out there, dangerous. It's just dangerous over there, you know. And we couldn't find her. We just couldn't find her.
And your father did pretty much what anyone would do with a condition like that, and when you're saying what he did, he pretty much retraced his steps mm-hmm. back, but she went the opposite way, mm-hmm. and he estimates how much time passed before he realized she wasn't there.
It wasn't very much time. I want to say it was maybe 10 minutes because he walks. You see him walk mm-hmm. back and forth really fast, and then he gets on the phone, you know, calling us. So he knew. He knew that if he didn't find her right away, that, you know, it was hard for him by himself to cover the flea market. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's a very huge flea market.
Right.
And
how close is the exit to where she left from?
This is what's really odd. When you look at it, she went straight for the exit. It's not really close, but she went down the aisle and she walked straight out. Which it was only minutes. And it would have never ever crossed her mind that she was just going to walk straight out. When you see that parking lot, how huge it is, she went straight for the gate, and then you see her walk over the median, and she starts walking like she knows where she's going.
On the video, it looked like something caught her attention. Mm-hmm. Like she her ears or her eyes perked up to something in a certain direction. Mm-hmm. And she just walked. So witnesses, were there witnesses that saw her walk out?
So there were witnesses off Highway 16. We did receive a few calls where they said they saw her crossing the highway. She wasn't crossing by the lights, and they said that, like, one of the witnesses said that he almost hit her. He had to swerve because she was just walking. But that was all. The only witness we have, so I posted something on Facebook asking for help from friends and family. I can't remember what time it was, but it was maybe midnight or 1 a.m. when I received a message from a lady that told me, "I saw your mom." And I immediately called her, and she had said around 4 o'clock she had a flat tire. She was across Highway 16 on the other access road, and she said she saw, she had a flat tire. She was with her sister. She had a flat tire. There was a police officer parked behind them, and they had some of those flare sticks out. And she saw my mom walking towards them, and she thought it was odd because my mom was walking from the direction that there's nothing. There's no businesses. So apparently she had walked away from the flea market, but then she was walking back towards the flea market, but on the opposite side of the highway. And she thought to herself, where is that lady coming from? So my mom stopped to talk to them, and the lady asked her, "Are you okay?" And then she asked her, "Voy para con los muchachos," meaning I'm going with the boys. And then she's like, "Oh, okay." And then she just kind of hung around them for a few minutes, and then she started walking off. And the lady told the police officer, "I don't think she's okay." Police officer didn't react. And then she said that she continued. They were fixing their tire. And then when she looked up, she didn't see my mom anymore. So that is the last sighting, confirmed sighting that we have.
Did we get that officer to confirm that story?
No, they would never give us the officer's name.
Really?
They never gave us the officer's name, so they couldn't tell us who. So since it was, I guess, a Samaritan help or something, they don't always log that. Those type of, I guess.
But he was on duty.
He was on duty. He was in his.
And can't confirm if
they
he
would
did
not
or
give
didn't.
Us. They would not give us a name.
Did you look into that by any chance?
We looked into it, and they never, no one would provide us a name.
Wow. Now, are we talking a mile, half a mile where she saw him, where she saw the your mom?
I want to say it's about half a mile across the highway. And so that was, we knew because of the flare stick. So you could still see the sticks on the ground. So that's where we started our search that night. After that, we received that message. It's going through those areas and searching and yelling out her name and thinking, you know, she was going to say, you know, "I'm here," or, you know, yell out, you know, "Aquí estoy," but nothing came out of it.
Someone of that age, you would think that their legs would start hurting or they want to rest somewhere. Was mm-hmm. she someone to take a rest and maybe look for help?
I think she would. I don't know that she would look for help because in her mind, she was a little girl. So that area, if she got into any of those properties, that would kind of remind her of her upbringing back home. She grew up in farmland. So if she saw a dirt road, she'd probably start walking down the dirt road. If she saw the creek, her house, my grandparents' house, they had a creek, a small creek behind their house. So that was very normal for her, that surrounding was very normal for her as a young girl.
Did she ever say when they would go on Sundays that she didn't like a band, let's go, like this, like at this time?
Not before. So this was the first time she had mentioned that she didn't really like the music.
What kind of music did she like?
She likes Mexican, not really mariachi, more like the banda type, or maybe some Pedro Infante music. But it was definitely, you know, she knew the lyrics. That's what's really, really odd, is that she probably couldn't tell you her name. She couldn't tell you where she lived. She couldn't give you any type of information, but she understood the music, and she could sing the song. She knew the lyrics of her favorite songs, which we would be like, how is that possible? But she would sing every word to her favorite songs.
That's amazing. So we get to, I guess, some hard evidence that we know. We know she was wearing a black wool coat, black pants, shoes, a silver necklace, and she had a handbag, right? A purse.
A string, yes.
Tell us about this purse.
So she always carried her purse. And December 11th, her purse was found off Leon Creek. So we had not found anything. I think the week after Thanksgiving, it rained, and it rained a lot. The creek was very, very high. We were out there, and it was just raining. It was cold. But we have walked that creek. I can't tell you how many times. We walked from 410, I think, all the way down to Applewide. And that one time we went all the way down to Pleasanton Road. Of course, some areas are very steep that you have to find ways to walk around and get through that. But Alamo Search and Rescue and Texas Search and Rescue, I believe, were out there. They're the ones that got the dogs out. Unfortunately, it was several days after my mom went missing that they got the dogs out, and they kind of started in the area that she was last seen, which was where the ladies had the flat tire. And then they worked their way over to the creek. That day, they called us. That afternoon, they called us, and they said, we found something. We want you to come and meet us and confirm that it's your mom. So they told us where they were coming up from the creek, and we met them. And sure enough, it was my mom's purse. We opened up the purse, and the purse was intact. She only carried a few dollars and some change, and it was in her little side pocket, just like it always was. So that day, we let family, friends, everyone know. And, you know, even we posted something on Facebook, and gosh, we had hundreds of volunteers. Right. You know, we thought, okay, we're close. We found something.
Right.
We're going to find her. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the last thing we found.
And that night, when she first went missing that night, about how late did y'all stay out there searching?
How late? We stayed for days.
Days.
I wore the same clothes for almost 3 days straight. I would probably sleep in my car for a little bit, for a few hours, wake up. We would go look. It was days. We weren't going to leave. I mean, we knew the conditions out there. And we knew my mom's condition, and we weren't going to give up. We weren't going to leave until we found her. And we didn't leave that area for months. We stopped working. I mean, we were just there. I mean, using all types of resources, any help anybody gave us, we took. It was heartbreaking. I mean,
I think it was the third or fourth night, my son finally made me eat. I didn't want to eat because I felt guilty eating. I was like, if someone's not feeding our mom, then how am I going to eat? And I remember eating that burger and just crying. I was crying because I was starving. I was starving and I just couldn't imagine how my mom was.
I'm so sorry you had to go through that, Margie. It's definitely a tough situation to go through, and I would do the same. I'd be out there just like you were, and I commend you for bringing the community together. And like I told you before the interview, when it was on the news, I was connected to you and your family of how close you were and dealing with such a scary time. It just seemed like you all rallied together so strong, like a Hispanic family does down here. And it was just a moment of disbelief based on what they were saying, what's been said on the news, that she was there one minute and the next minute she wasn't. So in the following days, what scenarios start creeping in your mind as far as potentially you think could have happened in those hours to days to Maria?
So we thought maybe someone picked her up. I mean, that's the only thing we could imagine, is that someone picked her up. And since my mom spoke well, she probably said, "Take me to my house," and probably said, "I live over there," pointing, and but not being able to give an actual address or anything. But if she would just say, "Hey, give me a ride, I'm trying to go home, I live over there," and she could have possibly gone, left with someone. But that's the only thing we thought at that time that could have possibly happened. And we were just hoping that, getting her picture out there, someone would say, "Yes, I picked her up, I have her," or "We dropped her off here," or something. But we never heard anything from anybody. I mean, we received hundreds of tips, lots of people that, look like our mom, but none of them were.
So in order to get across this highway, the cars are, 60, the speed limit's about 60, 65 miles per hour, sometimes 70. So she had to cross a busy highway, right? And if she made it to the other side and the purse was found down the creek, did you all pinpoint that creek as a potential possibility that she went to?
So after we found the purse, I mean, we obviously started focusing around the creek a lot more. But there is a potential that she went over there and she sat down and to rest. I don't know. She took off the purse and maybe left it there. I don't know. And maybe that's how we found the purse. But at the same time, the purse was found on a tree limb above a tree. So we had walked that area, never seen the purse. But we were never looking up. You're looking at the ground when you're searching. And of course, we're not experts. So, we're searching. Now when we think about it, we had lots of groups out there and everybody's walking right behind each other instead of spreading out. But these are things that you just don't know. You learn eventually, but we just never saw the purse because we weren't looking up.
How high up on the tree did the water go?
I think they said it was maybe, I don't remember how high it went, but I think they said it was 16 feet up, maybe 14, 16 feet up.
That must have been a storm. It must have rained a lot.
It rained a lot. It rained, I believe, almost that entire week before.
Anything out of the ordinary with the purse?
Nothing. Nothing. And then nothing to the point where police didn't even take it. I mean, they looked at it, they asked us, and we said no. We thought they were going to fingerprint it or something, and they just gave us the purse in a brown bag.
Did your parents or the family, were they dealing, was anyone dealing with any kind of trouble or disputes, anything that it could have been a possibility of foul play?
Nothing at all. Nothing. So my parents didn't have any problems with anybody at all. So it was, you know, that was asked several times. Anybody that would, there's nothing that we can think of that anything. So that was ruled out too, you know, and I believe, you know, if I'm not mistaken, missing persons unit, they do, you know, they do backgrounds and they do some research too, and nothing came from that either.
How often would she bring up her parents and wanting to go back to Mexico?
She would bring them up a lot.
Really?
In the last several days, she would always say that she needed to turn in her costura. So growing up, she would do like that Mexican embroidery with the flowers, the colorful flowers. She would do that, so she would get paid for that. And she would always tell us, I have to go turn it in, but I can't leave. She would be worried because she wasn't going to turn her work in and she wasn't going to get paid. She would often say, you know, I need to go back with my parents. They're waiting for me. I need to feed the animals. I need to help them. Sometimes my dad would call us and say, your mom's crying because she wants to leave. So I would call her. I would be on the phone with her and I would tell her, even though she didn't know who I was, I would just tell her, we're going. Just stay there. Everyone's going over there. So don't worry about it. And that would calm her down. She loved having company. Mm-hmm. So if we were all there, she was fine.
Does she remember the name of the town where she was from, or the country or state in Mexico that she was from?
No.
No?
No, no. She wouldn't give you that type of information, no.
When did her parents, your grandparents, pass away?
I want to say my grandma may have passed away. Gosh, it was in 1990-something. I don't remember. My mother took care of my grandma. So it might have been, no, it might have been in 2000. I don't recall correct the year exactly.
But she had made that known that that's where that was home to her. Okay. So other than the purse for hard evidence, was there any other hard evidence that came about?
No other hard evidence. We never found anything else after that.
So, sightings. So immediately, like you said, there's a lot of older Hispanic women that resemble your mom down here in South Texas. And believe there was a sighting in Edinburgh that seemed pretty close to what your mother looked like. Tell us about that experience.
So her name was Maria as well. It didn't look like our mother. You know, when they showed us the pictures, we immediately reacted and said, it's not our mother. But almost with every sighting, if we can go and personally see the person, we like to do that to confirm. And we went, and they allowed us to see. It was the lady in Edinburgh was a lady who was at the hospital, and she was alone. She had no family, so her name was Maria as well. We went to visit her, and it wasn't. There's features that my mom has that we immediately could recognize. It was not her. Unfortunately to say, they notified us, I want to say a year later, that Miss Maria passed away, and her family never went, I guess, to claim her. I'm not sure that's correct terminology, but
right. Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, we've had several sightings. We've had cases where
we have found people that look like our mother, and she, and they were really lost.
Really?
There was actually one time off Highway 16, there's a neighborhood. There was a lady that was walking, and we got a lot of calls, and we took off. We were just down the street. We picked her up. She was lost. It wasn't the first time she had wandered off, according to her daughter, and had people not been looking for our mom, she probably would have wandered off like our mom did. But because people were looking out for our mom, they stopped her. They held on to her, and we went, and we actually picked her up and waited till police came, and then her family came to get her. But it wasn't the first time she had wandered off. There was also another incident as well on the south side, where there was another lady as well that they thought it was our mother, and it wasn't, but she was lost as well.
Wow, and this is due to Alzheimer's?
Mm-hmm. This is due to Alzheimer's. I think one of them was dementia, but yes.
Mm-hmm. So I read that you were already thinking about a GPS tracker for your mom.
Yes.
I haven't heard of that personally. I've never heard of that. So tell us about how that works and what people out there can use from your advice.
So there's like it's a little circle that you can pin to maybe a piece of jewelry or something that you can put on the person's belongings. So we knew my mom wore earrings, and she had a necklace she always wore, but we knew that if we gave her a smartwatch or something, she would not leave it on. So we had looked into it. We just unfortunately just never did it. So some advice that we give people, if they wander off, if you have a loved one that wanders off, invest in a GPS tracker. I believe it's Comal County Sheriff's that also provides something, that it's a device or something that they can use, that they can track a person as well. I think they're the only ones near the city of San Antonio that can provide that. But we always tell people, we always get phone calls, and we're always asked for help, and we're always, we like to follow up, and we always tell them anything you need, even if we can help you get it, let us know, because we don't want another family to go through what our family has gone through. So if we can help anybody, we are willing to do whatever we have to do. We are there to help them.
I've seen a giant billboard of your mother. I'd say recently I've seen a billboard. What is there a reward for any information leading to her?
There is finding? A $5,000 reward for any information leading to us finding her.
Okay. And what was the search like? What was the radius in that you all searched on the ground?
Gosh, it was miles. I know normally they say to search 2 miles around the area the person goes missing, but I mean, we went further out. Yeah. We had drones, we had horses, we had ATVs, we had kayaks. We went, we had people come in kayaks, start off on Leon Creek and then go down to where it hits Medina River. I mean, we tried everything. I mean, miles and miles. I mean, we spent months out there every day from morning till dark searching.
Did they have to bring the dogs to smell some of her belongings to maybe find her scent out there?
Yes, but unfortunately, when we finally got the dogs out there, it was, I want to say maybe too late. Several days had already passed, and we had had several people out there.
Mm.
So, I don't think that was efficient. I think just because of the number of days that had passed and the number of people. Because as soon as we found that was the last location she was seen, everyone was focused, you know, in that area all the way to the creek. So,
you know how many volunteers you had?
Gosh, I want to say over 1,000, maybe.
Over 1,000 volunteers.
I still have a listing of all the people that we would have the people sign in. But every day, I mean, for several weeks, it slowed down during the Christmas time, during those holidays. But every day we would have people come out. Some of the volunteers became almost like family.
Yeah.
We still have contact with them.
Really?
We've met a lot of people that on their days off, that's what they would do. They would go and help us.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Amazing help from the community.
Mm-hmm.
You and your family are still motivated as ever and still pushing forward. I recently seen a lot of Facebook posts and the anniversary from when she went missing just passed. Let's talk about other options you may have looked for. I know there's also the psychic mediums out there. Did you have any encounter with them?
We did. We actually had a few psychics during the time that we were out there searching come out. But nothing came from that. We still receive psychics reach out to us, you know, trying to help. We receive messages from people telling us, I know someone that, you know, has helped find other people. They can probably help you. But again, nothing has come from that.
What were some of the things they were saying? Or were they just inaccurate?
They were just inaccurate. It's hard to tell because all of them have been very different. So it's hard to say, you know, and it's difficult because, you know, when you're approached with that, it's not something that we believe in. You know, we believe we're Catholics and, you know, our thing is to, you know, believe in God and we haven't lost our faith. You know, a lot of people have asked us, you know, how do you still go to church? You know, how do you, and it's just, you know, my mom brought us up that way, and we still believe in God, and we hope, you know, that he's going to give us the answers, you know, at one time or another. You know, it's hard, but yeah, I mean, we've tried everything. Dowsing sticks, I think they were. There was one time I received a call and I went out there.
Yeah.
You know, I spent a day out there and, you know, we found an area. We even dug up. We try everything. We're open to trying anything. It's been 4 long years. So even though we may not believe in it, we're going to try it.
Yeah.
We're going to try whatever we can because we want her back. Any tip we get, you know, I actually just got a tip this past Sunday. I was dropping off my son at his baseball game, and they tell me, I get a call from a gentleman named Scott and his wife, and they had just gone by a homeless camp to drop off some food, and they said, there's this lady that looks like your mother. Her name is Maria. She's here. So I took off right away. And sure enough, her name was Maria too. She looked a lot like my mom, but her name was Maria de Lourdes. She spoke slow, but she knew who she was. And it wasn't, but you know, it kind of, you know, they kept on apologizing and saying, I'm so sorry for getting your hopes up. I'm sorry for, you know, making you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, don't apologize, because that motivates us. You know, we know other people are looking for her, not just us. So that gives us that motivation not to give up, because other people are not giving up, so we can't either.
Right. And I know this might sound silly a little bit, but what are some identifiers you're looking for that you're sure that these people are not your mom?
So my mom did have dentures. You can see the mo she has on her face in the picture. A lot of times, when they send us a picture, the person may have dark hair. So we knew my mom had grays. Mm-hmm. My dad would dye her hair.
Right.
So her Just her ear. I mean, it's just those features that we know that if we see her, we're like, okay. And we know some things may change because if she's lost a lot of weight,
right,
she may not look the same. So that's why we have to confirm. There's some cases that we know that we can identify it from a picture. So right away, if they tell us the person spoke English or the person had a good conversation with me and told me that she, this, that, or whether, we knew my mom couldn't have that type of conversation.
Right.
So, but if we're in doubt, we confirm in person. We try to confirm in person.
So there's this show on ID. It's called Disappeared. I don't know if you've seen the show. It's a really popular show, and they work on cases just like this. And there really is no limit to the stories and the scenarios, kind of like this. Like, they just go on different things, different sightings, different witnesses, and they put the story out there. Have you thought about maybe putting this out there, maybe to a Dateline or any national broadcasts?
We had Dateline reach out to us, and we did a phone interview. They have this segment that they have on Facebook, but it wasn't the TV Dateline series.
Okay.
Part of it. But they have reached out to us, and we did an interview with them. But again, we are always open to any help. So anybody reaches out, we don't say no. And you just never know. It might just be that one person that probably doesn't, is not on social media, probably doesn't watch the news, mm-hmm. or something that may be able to give us that tip we're looking for. But I think at this moment, as a family, if our mom is alive, she's going to be very frail because she wouldn't eat on her own. She wouldn't go to the restroom on her own. She didn't even recognize herself in the mirror. So if someone wasn't taking care of her like my dad was, she may not be well right now.
And those are things that are not an assumption. Those are facts.
That, yes,
she couldn't do these things
she
because of her Alzheimer's.
Exactly.
So holding out hope that there's someone out there that knows about this case. Certainly, you would think, out of all of the disappearing cases in the world and in the state and locally, if there is, there's got to be some more evidence out there in that vicinity of where this happened. So that gives you hope that maybe she did get a ride and down to Mexico where she wanted, and that she is still alive. Is this what your thought process is right now? Or because there's no other evidence, just the purse.
Mm-hmm. Just the purse. I mean, for a long time, we've thought that. I mean, I don't know. But then, you know, one of my dad's biggest concerns is, you know, he had the patience to take care of her. Mm-hmm. Would somebody else have that patience so many years to take care of her?
Right, right.
So we would think now at this point they would have already called us. They mm-hmm. would have told us, you know, we found her, and nothing yet. I mean, we received tips on the other side of the border. We even went down there. We spent, you know, days in Laredo too. But nothing. Border Patrol, it felt good when I was coming back. One of the checkpoints, Border Patrol had my mom's flyer there.
Right.
Which, you know, when I would approach an SAPD officer here in San Antonio and tell him about my mom, they would just like, it was just completely different. So
yeah.
I know that Border Patrol knew about my mom, about our mom missing, and they were looking.
Well, thank you, Margie. A lot of information overload that we can all think about while you listen to this podcast. Think about these clues that Margie has provided. Think about her mother Maria's story, and maybe you know something, maybe you have an idea of what could have happened, but really this podcast is to benefit the family, help them in any way that we can, to find Maria after 4 years of searching. We're approaching the holidays. We just passed the day she went missing, November 20th, 2016, from the flea market. Is it the Poti flea market? Poti flea market, right here in San Antonio, Texas. So listen to the clues. If you know anything, please come forward. Reach out to her family. And what's your contact information for the search?
The contact information is, phone number is 210-739-9889. And then we do have a Facebook page, which is help us find Maria Jesus Llamas. So anything, you can send us a message there. We typically will reply in a couple of hours. There's also a link to call, and that goes directly to our phone. So please call us, or even call Missing Persons Unit. If you want to remain anonymous, we're okay with that. But any information you have, anything whatsoever, even if it's little, if you remember a conversation, something that you remember seeing or someone said, just reach out to us and share with us, because that may be the tip we need, you know, that's going to lead us to finding her. Don't be afraid. We know it's four years later, but we really want to find her. We need some closure.
Before we do end the podcast, I just want to ask a few identifiers that people might you know, run into somebody like Maria and they can identify her. What are some things that you would say we could be looking for?
Just she only speaks Spanish. She does have dentures. She would shake when she would talk. She would shake, her hands would shake, and her leg would shake a lot. So if she's sitting down, her leg starts shaking as well. But I think at this point, she's not going to be able to give you a name. She might be afraid as well. But if you do find someone, take a picture. Mm-hmm. Try to stay with her.
Okay.
Call one of the numbers that we have, and one of us will respond immediately. But just try to stay with her. And like I mentioned before, as people are searching out for a mother or looking out for a mother, we've been able to find other people that have wandered off. So, you know, we normally see an adult walking, but if that adult is walking in an area that doesn't seem right, there's no bus stop, or if something, just stop and talk to them.
Yeah.
Ask them a few questions, because you just never know. Alzheimer's is very, you can't tell, you know. People don't walk with the sign that says I have Alzheimer's. I mean, they speak normal, they seem normal, we don't know them. So if in any doubt, you know, call 911, stay with them. That's all, you know, that's my advice. And if anybody has a family member that is suffering from Alzheimer's or dementia, as I mentioned earlier, and they have wandered off, then get them a GPS tracker. And if you can't afford one, reach out to our family, because we want to help you. We want to help avoid this too. So send us a message on our mother's page. Help us find Maria Jesus Llamas, or call our phone number. Again, we don't want this to happen to anybody else.
Thank you so much, Margie. My prayers and well wishes go out to you, family, immediate family, extended family, everyone that was affected, and those people that are volunteering to search. Kudos to you all in the community for helping this family out. One thing that I've learned about Margie, knowing and talking to her, is that she's not going to stop. She's going to keep searching and following up, and just reach out to her if you have any further information. That wraps up episode number 6 here on the Beat of My Drum. Thank you for listening. Please leave some feedback on Facebook on the Beat of My Drum, or Instagram under at the Beat of My Drum. Talk to you soon. And remember, always march to the beat of your own drum.
beat of my drum entertainment.